Amen.
Oh, ja, er ist wunderbar. Oh, ja, er ist wunderbar. Die Sonne, der Mond und der Sterne schau, sag es laut, er ist wunderbar. Ich weiß, er ist wunderbar. Ja, ich weiß, er ist wunderbar. Wir bezeugen, es ist wunderbar. Wir bezeugen, es ist wunderbar. Das Wort und das Blut und der Heilige Geist, wir bezeugen, es ist wunderbar. Hierüben sein teures Blut, es floss ja um mich so gut. Hierüben den Sieg vom Kreuz allein, preis sei Jesus in Ewigkeit.
Amen. Nun bitten wir Bruder Frank.
I would also like to greet and welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord, and I wish us God's richest blessing. We greet and welcome especially all those who are perhaps today for the first time in our midst. Would you raise your hand or would you stand up? Who is here today for the first time? Most surely some. I will put on my glasses so that I can see properly. There. God bless you, sister. God bless you. There's another one. Here, one sister, God bless you. And here to my right side, I see my friend from Arizona, from Flagstaff, Arizona. God bless you in our midst.
Beloved brother, welcome in our midst.
Brother Gene Shuns, the son-in-law of brother and sister Fleck. Just so nice that you can be here today. And in the same way, we welcome all of you. Also you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. You can be seated now. In these days, today and tomorrow, we will have the opportunity to rededicate our lives anew to the Lord, to fully surrender to Him and to let the Spirit of God work. The time in which we arrived is truly very serious. And I think I can say here, if we consider that again brothers and sisters have come from all over Europe, some 1,700 kilometers, others 1,300 kilometers, and others were traveling similar distances to be here today, 600 or 800 kilometers. Then we find out that God has sent a hunger to hear His word. Just feel free from all over Europe. One doesn't even have to mention again all these various nations. All of Europe is represented here. And so we thank the Lord that we can still come together hearing the word of God. The whole world is greeting us, starting from Brother Wallström from Denmark up, down to Cape Town, and from east and west, all the brethren are sending their greetings. And from this place, we greet our friends in Chile in a special way, and we wish them God's blessing. One could report of the missionary trips. Also, other brothers are going on missionary trips. Brother Barrier, Brother Leonard, Brother Didier, and Brother Gilbert, and our brother from the Netherlands, just returned from Bolivia. We are very grateful to God for all the brethren who have it on their hearts to carry the word of God. Our brother Barrier has fallen ill. He is very ill. And he is asking us that we remember him in our prayers. Last Wednesday night, we were reading a word here, the last verse from Mark, chapter 7, just the last part of the last verse, Mark 7, at the end, he has done all things well. A wonderful statement. And this sentence is right. He made all things well. With whom did he make it well? With all who came to him. With all who were looking for help from him. Let us read the second part completely. He has done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. But they came to him. They came to him by faith. Let me, before we come to the recent developments of our time, let me read you from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And here we read verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, listen closely, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. From the Epistle of Jude, we read verse 3. Jude, verse 3.
Geliebte, da es mein Herzenswunsch.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We could read a number of scriptures which speak of the truth of the word. And also of our Lord, who said in the well-known word in the Gospel of John that he came into this world, John 18, verse 37, John 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest rightly that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. One could really, for this subject, one could read a large number of scriptures. Brothers and sisters, in this month, we had a significant event. We have a change in Rome. We looked back to that, what happened. And I really would just like to emphasize a few points. Without going into politics, because at this place we have nothing to do with politics, unless something happens which in reality was already predicted in Bible prophecy. And which must take place now in the end time, and it will take place. I just brought with me a very few of the magazines and also some extracts from the internet. I brought it with me for one single reason. I show you once again a photograph with all those dressed in purple, with all those who are dressed in purple. And then the question, what does the scripture say? We are of course not interested in what is written here. There are many reports, many articles. We are only interested in what is written in the Bible. In the sixth seal, it's written of those clothed in purple, that they together with the kings of the earth, they will take refuge, and they will want to run away, and they will cry to the mountains and to the hills, fall on us and cover us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne. Revelation chapter 6, verse 14, and then verse 15. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the dignities and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Just as an overall view, 482 years ago, it was a German whom God used to bring about the breakthrough of the Reformation. It was a German monk who nailed the 95 theses on the castle church of Wittenberg. And the Reformation took its course up to Geneva, up to Graz. That's how it is written in church history. Now it is again a German who calls back all the churches which came forth after the Reformation, calling them back into the mother's bosom. And they are obeying. They are coming. The invitation is accepted. One can read it up here in all what is being written. Brothers and sisters, if there would be no Bible prophecy for it, if not the head, one of the seven heads which received a deadly wound, which was then healed again, if there would be no Revelation 13 to have the overall picture before us, then we would not even have to speak about it. To us it is not enough just to get articles from the internet. We need divine orientation. About this we will have to write, because it is just very important to see how all of mankind, and this we have seen, whole of mankind is bowing their knees, and it's just, and a worship is taking place as it was never here on earth. Already at the farewell of the previous one, and then at the crowning of the other one, Protestant leaders were bowing, were folding their hands. Perhaps they even prayed a Lord's Prayer to it. All were showing their respect and their honor. And the inauguration was done in a similar way. He who watched it a bit, I didn't have much time, but some things I have seen, one does not find any words for it. Just two scriptures came into my mind. The one from Philippians, where it says, when our Lord will start his reign, that every knee shall bow before him, and every tongue will worship him, as already predicted in the prophet Isaiah. To me every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess me. Now, there is someone there before whom the knees are bowing, who is being worshipped, and all the world seems to be part of it, except the few who perhaps have some doubts. I don't want to go more into all these details, but the following shall be said here. In one article from the internet, it says, the last pope. The last pope. According to the prophecy of so-and-so, the very last one will come, and during his office, Rome shall be destroyed. And a terrible judge will judge the people. This is written in the internet. In my Bible it says, in Revelation chapter 18, Revelation chapter 18, verse 16, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. That's how it is written in the Holy Scripture. And that's how it will take place. Another one writes here, also in the internet, the 264 previous popes were not only pious people or spiritual people. Also about this, we don't want to judge. I just want to show you, I perhaps showed you before, that really, according to the belief or according to the superstition of the Catholic Church, 266 compartments are ready in the Vatican, where the popes are being enframed when they passed away. 264 are full. The 265th is in the office now, since the 24th of April, and then comes the end. Then comes the last one. But not because it is being said here like that, but because we really have arrived at the end of time, where everything is being united under Rome, as it was during the time of the Roman Empire. Actually, this current Pope doesn't have to do much. Almost everything was done already. I don't want to spend too much time with this, and I don't want to take your time, but many, many pages were written about it, how all the religions, how really all are bowing and submitting and finding their way to Rome. And it was the last pope who visited as the first one the Jewish synagogue in Rome. It was the last pope who visited the mosque in Damascus. It was the last pope who was at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. It was him who was in Yad Vashem, in the place where the Holocaust is displayed. He really took care of everything, so that everything is prepared, and it just has to take place now. There's only one remark which I want to make here concerning the tiara. The tiara on the head of the popes was, of course, the crown. It's a triple crown. It's made out of gold. And just imagine, 1963, on the 30th of June, when the crowning of Pope Paul VI took place, just a few months later, he laid down the crown onto the altar, and the highest cardinal from the USA took this crown, the tiara, to Washington in the USA. And what is connected with it, or maybe not, in any case, it falls into the time of the Second Vatican Council, where all Protestants were invited back into the Mother's bosom. And so the hindrance was taken out of the way. And in the USA, this tiara, this Pope crown, brings in much money. The tourists are coming from all over the world, and all are putting their money there. Brother Branham made, of course, a statement concerning the USA. And we see also now how in the Middle East the fronts are shaping up nicely. Mr. Putin was just there now, and behold, he is on the other side. He wants to give weapons to the Palestinians, joined with Syria. And why is it written in the prophet Isaiah that Syria, that Damascus will be destroyed? Everything is really in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We will not stop anything. It is the end time, and these things must take place. What really gets me is just one more thought, and then we come to the word. The latest book of Professor Ratzinger, the today's Pope. And here it says on page
74.
Here we want to remember the so-called Apostolic Confession. The headline says, Preface to the History and Structure of the Apostolic Confession. I don't know whether you know church history, whether you are interested in, whether you read it, but the confession, which was formulated in 7 different councils, is the confession of the Roman Church, of all the Orthodox churches. It is the confession of all churches all over the earth. Even in the Pentecostal church, in which we were together with Brother Menard in Manila, the confession, and there it says, I believe in the one holy Roman Catholic Church. But listen what this man is writing here of the Apostolic Confession. The basic form of our confession came up in the 2nd and 3rd century in connection with the water baptism. Then it is being referred to Matthew 28. This I'm jumping now. And then it continues here. Perhaps already in the course of the 2nd and 3rd century, the triune formula of Matthew 28 was put into the center of the whole matter of Christ. And now comes a point which I don't want to mention here. It continued, since about the 5th century, perhaps already in the 4th century, the legend, it's written black and white, the legend, here it's written, the legend came up of the apostolic origin of this text. Maybe just for your orientation. What has the Church of the Living God to do? The Church, which is according to 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and foundation of the truth. What has it to do with a confession which is declared to be apostolic, but at the same time it is being called a legend? Openly, it's called a legend. What have we to do with it? I looked it up, namely, in the history of dogmas. There is really the word, I will spell it to you, D-O-C-E-I-N, Dokein. And this word comes from the Greek, and it means, it seems. The dogmas came up because it seemed to the church fathers to be so or so. What have I to do with it seems to be this way or that way? I'm only having one book, and this is the book of truth. Here it doesn't seem to be so, here it is so. God's word is the truth. And brothers and sisters, God brought us back to the beginning to bring about a separation, so that we can be a separated people, a people well-pleasing to the Lord. If we were reading already that the Lord has made all things well, then let it be said also at the end of our course, He has made all things well with you and with me. And why did He make all things well? Because we came to Him. As we are, we came to Him, and He helped us. A word from Hebrews, chapter 4, let us read. One can read it time and again. Please forgive me that we mentioned a bit about the current events. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 1.
Da nun die Verheißung,
let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. Lest any of you turns out to be left behind. This is a word which goes through all our bones. And brothers and sisters, precious friends, exactly 4 weeks ago we experienced it, that a lady who, being a practicing Catholic, she entered this building here. She was so touched and overwhelmed by the word, and a few days later she went to the local court and she resigned from the Catholic Church, being convinced that the truth is being preached, being convinced that God's word is the truth. The Spirit of God is still at work. It's not the multitudes. It's just a few here and there. And maybe it should also be said here that all within the message who refer to God and His Word and who refer to Brother Branham and the message, that they really come back to the Word, back to the truth, back to the beginning, out from all directions in which one is walking because of the various interpretations. I brought with me 3 sermons of Brother Branham. I will only read some small passages from it. From the sermon, What Shall I Do with Jesus, called Christ? Here it says, on page 27, This is uniting time to see churches uniting, nations uniting. It's a uniting time of God and His bride. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. I believe she is sealed in the kingdom of God. I believe the mechanics is there. They are waiting for the dynamics that will take her off the earth into glory in the rapture. We all know that it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. How often shall we say it here? God, at the first coming of Jesus Christ, has He sent a messenger and a message. And of Him it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, so that all might believe through Him. God promised it. He fulfilled His word, and behold, a man sent from God came on the scene. God does not have to ask me or you whether He may do something. He doesn't need to ask anyone whom He wants to use so that the promise given by Him can find fulfillment. But prophets are consecrated to God from their childhood, right from their birth, consecrated to God for a very specific ministry connected with the plan of salvation. We see, probably we cannot say it much longer here. The false prophet, who is called the lying prophet in the book of Revelation, has the task to unite all of mankind under one head by decorating everything with the Holy Scriptures. And if it is even being said so that there is one shepherd and one flock. And then it's even said, I have also other sheep which have not come yet, but I will also call them. But these are the words of our Lord. Nobody is allowed to apply them for himself. This is not permitted. The Lord is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And he first sent to the house of Israel. And he said, don't go to the Gentiles. And then he sent to the Gentiles. Because God already through Abraham gave the promise, in thee shall all generations of the earth be blessed. As it is being lined out by James in the book of Acts, chapter 15, that God first takes out a people from among the nations, and then He will turn again fully to Israel. Therefore, Paul had to say, because you do not receive the word, therefore we go to the Gentiles. Because at his commission in the book of Acts 22 and 26, he was told that he should go to the nations to preach the word. And this happened. God has an order in his plan of salvation. And we must be placed and positioned into this order. And the word, of course, didn't go forth from Rome. It went forth from Jerusalem. And the Lord will not come to Rome to be celebrated there by the dignities. He will come to Mount Zion. He will come to Jerusalem to start his millennial reign. And then he will be worshipped. But listen, once again, what Brother Branham said already then. It's uniting time to see churches uniting, nations uniting. We have witnessed it in all the languages. The people were saying the right thing. And all agreed. Then it continues here. It's also, it's a uniting time of God with his bride. With bride and bridegroom. Then he continues. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. He, of course, as all the prophets, he spoke in past tense. Let us take Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? As if it would be past already. Let us take Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. It's just like this, that God uses this form, because with God everything is already firmly decided. Everything is already well done and finished with those who come to him and who are seeking help from him. But when someone would come up with a thought and would say, one moment, this is a sermon from November 1963, and if I would take it literally, the bride is called already, then all would come too late who were born or reborn after 1963. You see, one may not bring in his own thoughts into the statements of Brother Branham. They must be left as they are. And then comes the deeper lining out here, pertaining to the dynamics, namely the direct working of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this we need. We not only need an anointing, not only a new revival, we need an equipment with the power from on high. It doesn't help any one of us to repeat what John the Baptist said. I baptize you with water unto repentance. He who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It was part, in the early church, it was part of the conversion. And we must again come to this point, that a conversion leads to the new birth, and that the new birth leads to the Spirit baptism. That just everything, all the experiences are being made now, just as they were made at the beginning. Then it continues, I'm reading. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have received in a small measure. Yes, if Brother Branham called that, what happened at that time, and he called it a small measure, What shall then happen when the whole church comes into the unity of the faith under the power of God and the Spirit of God? What shall then happen? And we remember with great joy the statement of Brother Branham. What God is doing or has done through the messenger, this he does also through the church which believes the message. And now we read this sentence once again, and we read it on. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have received in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. Our Lord is both. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the cornerstone, and according to Zechariah 4, he is also the capstone. And when the capstone is being placed, then the jubilation is great among the people of God. So, we have here actually the directions of the way. Also, this became so great to me. You all know, last weekend we were in Berlin and we had a nice meeting there. 12 people were baptized. But what impressed me was when Brother Hammers drove me to the airport and he just typed in the address into his navigation system, and it was the announcement. In 300 meters you turn right and then 3 kilometers straight, the directions along the way. I liked it. Before me was the map, and in the ear I had the announcement. Both was there, the map and the announcement. And I was thinking by myself, when we see the directions along the way, we see it in this book, and then we even are hearing it to be sure. And when we arrived at the airport Tegel in Berlin, the announcement came, you have reached your destination. Yeah, this was wonderful. Just getting out, you have reached your destination. This spoke to me. Brothers and sisters, we want to reach the destination. We need the directions along the way, the orientation we need from the Word of God. And we thank the Lord that this Word is not a dead letter, but it speaks. It is alive, and God speaks to us through His precious and holy Word. So, during the time when the capstone comes, when the consummation happens, and where bride and bridegroom are united, then the greatest working of God will take place on earth. God will finish His work in majesty. He will finish it in majesty. It continues here. But when that head and body unite together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ of hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight to the skies.
And
then at the end it says, the dynamics is the Holy Spirit. And this is the power of God. The power of God. What did Brother Branham say? Somewhere else he said, you can have the best engine. And the best engine can be adjusted in a perfect way. But when there's no fuel, then there will be not even a spark, not even a spark. At the most, an empty battery. At the most, an empty battery. The spark comes only then, when there's power, when the power is in the car or in the tank, then comes the spark. And exactly that is what we need, brothers and sisters. The Spirit baptism is of course described in many ways, also in the sermons of Brother Brennan, and also in the Holy Scripture. So, let us briefly summarize of what it's all about now. Romans 1. The truth may not be held any longer in unrighteousness, because we will know the truth, and only the truth shall set us free. The truth has the liberating power of God in itself, and therefore the truth must be preached. And then, back to the word, all who are of God hear the words of God. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But then comes really the warning, a very serious warning, which each one must take seriously. In 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 8, and then shall that wicked, the lawless one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It is one thing to speak about salvation, and it's another thing to experience salvation and to come out from error and to be sanctified in the word of truth. Then we have, in the next verse, in verse 11, even more a description. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. An der Ungerechtigkeit gefunden haben. Wir brauchen hier nicht näher einzugehen. We cannot go deeper here, but even the miracle workers are being called the workers of iniquity, the workers of lawlessness. In Matthew 7, from verse 21. So, as Brother Branham said many times, check everything with the word. The word is the absolute. Even when signs and wonders are happening, this doesn't mean anything. It only means that the people believed in that very moment. No more. That they believed in the healing, and they received it, regardless who the evangelist is, regardless who is preaching the word of healing. Whoever believes experiences it, because God keeps his word. But it is about much more. It is really about the healing of the body of Jesus Christ. It is about the church of the living God. Just before, I wanted to say something here, that really all Christian fellowships, churches and what have you, that they are having the same confession, and therefore are all going back again. But our confession was of course not set up in the 3rd or 4th century by various councils. We have nothing to do with what seemed to be right to the people, but with that, what is right. Not what seemed to be right, that it is right, but it is right. God's word is right. And this is the big difference. Therefore, the coming out, the calling out by the divine message in our time. It is a command of the hour. It belongs to the completion. It is part of the plan of salvation in our days. Here it doesn't help anyone to say, but there were enough revivals. Of course there were revivals. Of course there was the Reformation. And there were the various revivals which went deeper and deeper after the Reformation. But we are not living in the days of Reformation, also not in the days after that, where the truths partly more and more came to the surface and were revealed. We are really living in the time of the finishing, in the time where the whole plan of salvation of our God is revealed. And blessed are the people. Blessed is the man who can really believe with all his heart. And he who believes, as the scripture says, to him the word is revealed. If we don't believe what God's word tells us, then God doesn't even speak to us. God can only speak with us if we believe what he says. If we don't believe what he says, why should he then even speak to us? No, it is just a very serious matter. I would have liked it best to read two more quotes from the following sermons, also from 63, the token. Here Brother Branham says, at that time you had to have literal blood applied on the door, but now it's the Holy Spirit. We are coming to it in just a moment to prove that. The life is the token. Your life is gone. You are dead. Your life is dead. You are now hid in God through Christ and sealed in there by the Holy Spirit. The mind that was in Christ is in you. Yeah. Is this already like this? Or is it only in the sermon and in the Word of God? Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us just to come to the Lord, to the throne of grace, and to believe with all our hearts that through Calvary, really, a full redemption and reconciliation has taken place with God. That the justification by faith has become a divine fact in our lives, and no one has the right to uncover the past or to say you did this or that. Whatever lies under the blood may never be uncovered. The Lord has thrown everything into the sea of forgetfulness of His love, for God so much loved the world. No one may accuse the other one anymore, but all are seeking grace with God and are finding it and are receiving forgiveness and the full reconciliation and the full salvation of our God. We are not only having the report in the Holy Scripture of all these experiences, it has become a stimulation to us so that in our lives, in our spiritual lives, that it may become the way as it was at the very beginning. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one heart and one soul, just joined with God as one body, being baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. It must become true. And brothers and sisters, we will not get around it. It must and will take place that at this place that we pray in such a way as they were praying in the upper room, that we are getting filled in such a way with the Holy Spirit as they were filled, that the end becomes like the beginning, that the name of Jesus in its meaning would not only have been revealed, but that the power of God which is in it, that it can get manifested. Peter said it in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Don't look on us as if we would have done something, but by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, this has taken place. And that's how we said it already at the beginning, from Mark 7. The Lord has made all things well. All things well. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the sinners received forgiveness. He made all things well. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. He unites, he heals, he saves, he delivers. No one should go out of this building not having been blessed. Come unto me all ye that labor, says our Lord. And I will give you rest for your souls. Let us summarize of what it is about now. On one hand, in the political realm, in the religious realm, with Israel, with the church, on various levels, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And we thank God for the overall view which He has given us in His Word. We're not only reading three times, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know that it is at the door. We see it. We are reading and we are seeing it. And we are hearing it. By grace we hear it time and again. But see what has happened. The division of Europe about 500 years ago, and then the division of Europe which went right through this country, right through Berlin, as a result of the Second World War, divided into East and West. 1961, in August, the Russian tanks were on one side and the American tanks were at the other side, at the Brandenburg Gate, and they were aiming at each other. The division is over. Both divisions are over. The wound was healed. It is the end time. And when the Holy Scripture speaks about it, that him, whoever this him might be, all the world will worship him, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundation of the world. Then this is right. Then this must be fulfilled. It's not only written in Revelation 13, verse 8 and 9. No, it is so. And therefore, we are asking all of you, take the Word of God seriously. We are not fanatics. We are no new religion. We are just people who believe God, who received the orientation from the Word, who have found the directions along the way through the Holy Scripture by His grace. And we respect God's Word in every way, and we see it in its fulfillment. The Jews are returning into the land of promise. The church returns into the word of promise. God has His way with His people. And, as already said, we are experiencing Bible prophecy life. If it's really written that one of the seven heads received a deadly wound, Revelation 13, and then it's even written that this wound was healed and the whole world marveled about it. And then it's written at the end of the chapter, he who has understanding, let him count the number. And it's the number of a man, Vicarius Filii Dei, vicar of the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, everything is written clearly and was revealed by the Spirit of God. God did not send us Brother Branham that we bypass over it, but that we go deep into it. It is a prophetic age. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, and we see it, and we recognize that the end time has really come. Or, as I also said sometimes, the end of the end time is here. We may lift up our heads, for we recognize and we know, based upon the word, we know that the redemption of our bodies is drawing near. And so we thank God, who has sent us a prophet. And here's the nice thing. We are not following a prophet. We are following the Lord. The prophet brought us the word. He showed us the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank God. We thank God for all the signposts. And of course, especially for the last prophetic ministry. And we receive it. And we accept it. And therefore it is also written, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And so we thank God. Our reward will be together with all the prophets and apostles, with all those who preached the word by the commission of God. Because we have heard the word which God laid into their mouths, and we believed it, and we agreed with God. And all the Bible subjects and doctrines about Godhead, about baptism and Lord's Supper, about all the Bible subjects, they were preached and set forth many times here, so that no one needs to remain in darkness any longer. And once again, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Lest any of you turns out to be left behind. This may not be. All who are hearing the word of God, brothers and sisters, you're not coming such long distances to just hear something. You are coming to hear God's holy word. You are coming to hear it, to believe it, and together we experience the power of God, which is being manifested to those who believe His word. God willing, we will speak about it tomorrow. Faith is the foundation upon everything else is built up. Faith. All to whom God spoke, they believed God, and that was accounted to them for righteousness. And faith is the victory which has overcome the world. Faith gives us the access to the throne of grace and the access to all what the Lord promised us and what He prepared for us. In summary, one can just say, blessed is the people whose Lord God Himself is. That we can say in truth, we are the sheep of His hand. That we can say in truth, we are His people, the New Testament covenant people, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the other experiences will follow up to the sealing with the Holy Spirit, so that at the end it turns out that nobody is left behind. Once again, to all who are scattered all over, who are following the various interpretations within the message, let yourselves be called back in the name of the Lord. Come back to God. Come back to His word. Because God is only in His word, in no single interpretation. One more thought. What would it help if we see that the gentlemen in the course of the first centuries, that they have invented confessions and creeds, putting up dogmas which seemed to be right to them, of which they said, it seems to be right. What good if we ourselves disregard the word and are going after interpretations which came up in the 20th century? With what right do we then judge the others from the first or the second or the third century that they deviated from the word? If the gentlemen in the 20th century also deviate from the word, don't, and not even knowing it, but they believe still that they believe as the scripture says. Faith, as the scripture says, is only in one single book, and this is this book which we received as the word of God. To Him, the Almighty God, who has His way with His church, until it can be said, He has made all things well. Today, He wants to make it well with all of us. Today, He wants to comfort the discouraged, giving courage to the sad, saving the lost, healing the sick. Today, He wants to manifest His power and His glory. Already today, as then in the meeting with our Lord, so also today in this meeting with our Lord, that He can make everything well with all of us by grace. We want to believe Him and we want to trust Him. He will make it well. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. To Him, the faithful Lord be the praise, the honor, and the adoration now and forever.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lasst uns aufstehen.
Let us stand up.
Und gemeinsam dem Herrn danken.
And let us together thank the Lord.
Wir könnten eigentlich gleich unsere Stimme erheben.
We could actually already raise our voices, but before we do this,
lasst uns die Häupter,
let us bow
neigen,
our heads.
Im stillen Gebet,
let us remain
verharren,
in silent prayer.
Vielleicht wär's ganz
maybe it would be good
wenn unsere Schwester noch
when our sisters would sing once again the song, "Are you ready at that hour?"
Es muss geschehen,
it must take place
dass wir zubereitet werden,
that we are ready
es muss uns immer wieder neu
and must be shown to us time
werden,
and again that the time is running out and that the coming of the Lord is really very, very near. Are you ready at that hour? And then we will answer this question.
Bist du bereit zu der Stunde, wenn Gott die Seinen heimholt? Hast du vernommen die Kunde, wie er die Seinen belohnt? Wenn er erscheint in den Wolken, in Majestät und in Pracht. Ich kann's nicht sagen in Worten, mein Herz es jubelt und lacht. Herr, ich auf goldenen Straßen, Herr, ich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Kannst du begreifen die Liebe, die Jesus Christus dir beut? Bist du mit ihm dann im Frieden, wenn Jesus käme noch heut? Er hat die Städte bereitet für die noch wartende Schar, die immer treu für ihn streiten. Es kommt der verheißene Tag. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Nichts ist vom Leid mehr geblieben, Spott und Hohn sind dann vorbei. Jesus will allzeit dich lieben, dies meine Losung soll sein. Möchtest du mit in die Heimat, willst Jesus du einmal sehen. Er nur bringt dich in die schöne Stadt, du brauchst nur zu Jesus zu gehen. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke.
Dankeschön.
We want to pray together. Just feel free Whatever is upon your heart, whatever your request is, whatever your trouble might be it praise, be it worship, as you feel in your hearts, so it shall take place. And right at the end, we will then together thank Him, just thanking Him for the faithfulness of God and for all the blessings. Let us together pray. We are all raising our voices. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank You for Thy speaking, for the orientation, for the overall view. You have given us grace and revelation. Your word has become a lamp unto our feet, a light on our path. Precious Lord, make all damage well. Heal, save, deliver, bless. May everything be well. May everything be well. With all, manifest the power of Thy blood and of Thy word and of Thy spirit. Have Thine own way in our midst and bless all the newcomers. Save, heal, deliver, redeem with all Your power. Oh, beloved Lord. Dear Lord,
hallelujah, 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 oh God, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Thy dear, praise Thy dear, Herr, allmächtiger Gott. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Besonders für alle.
Especially for all who are newly added. For all who are not used to such services. Precious friends, the word to call is twice mentioned in the Bible. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He who doesn't call upon the name of the Lord, he will call to the mountains, crying to the hills and mountains, beloved Lord, we are calling upon You. We are calling upon You for salvation, healing, and deliverance, and revelation.
Hallelujah! 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 Christ, I Christ, I Christ, I oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Singen wir den Chorus, dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht, den der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag. Dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. Lasset uns froh und dankbar sein. Lasset das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht.
Before we sing the chorus, I love Him, I love Him, Let me say this once again here. In the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter was quoting the word from the prophet Joel. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is just necessary that a lost one cries for salvation. And to receive salvation, we must call upon that name which was given for our salvation. No one gets around the name of Jesus Christ, because God appeared to us in Christ. And this is the redemption name in the New Testament. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then it will happen that all who do not call upon the name of the Lord, then they will call upon the mountains and to the hills, cover us. So may no one be offended when we let our cries become a bit louder. This only expresses the desperation of the soul. The desperation of the soul is being expressed. We of course cannot sing or pray indifferently. This doesn't work. The indifference must be taken from us. It must be taken from us. We must be in the matter. Let us sing the chorus, I love him, I love him.
Das teure Gottes Lamm, das mich geliebt und für mich starb, am Kreuz es starb.
Und noch einmal in Englisch.
I love him, I love him, because he first loved me. And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated. Brother Rus will say something now, but that we don't forget it, I would like to point to it already now. Tomorrow, there will be again an opportunity for baptism. The scripture says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then no man on earth can take himself the right and say, I believe, but I'm not interested in baptism. I will be saved anyhow. No one will get saved after his own fashion. No one. The way was shown to us, and the description along the way was left to us in the Word of God so clearly that no one needs to bypass it. Not even trying to bypass it. No way goes around it. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He who bypasses him, bypasses God. And him, God will also bypass. Then we have to announce that all who this time, I almost said, who are lucky enough to go with us to Israel, that they tomorrow, after the service, that they will come to the front so that we can give them the last instructions. Remember the word of the Lord on all your ways and believe what is written in the word. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the Lord will make all things well? He has made all things well. It's written in past tense. He has made all things well. All things well. Now, and thank the Lord that he also in our lives by His grace, He made all things well. This is faith. Please, Brother Russ. Faithful Heavenly Father, we thank Thee with all our hearts for Your precious and holy word, for the wonderful giving of Your food, also this night, so wonderful. It was revealed, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit. Faithful Lord, what good is it if we would just read it, if we would not understand it, but You have opened our understanding. Praise, honor, and glory. Thank You, Lord. Lord, bless also the prayer requests which are here in front of us. All who are sick or who are weak, who need prayer, may You give them grace. Be with all of them, Lord. We ask it in Your name. And we thank Thee that You will give beyond what we can ask. Blessed art Thou now and forever. Amen.
Halleluja sei gepriesen.
Halleluja sei gepriesen. Halleluja.
Now the grace of the Lord be with you until tomorrow, the Lord.